Sports, politics, life. Back 9 Development presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at back9development.com.
Oh my, did we have an unbelievably fun time yesterday at the KKHI Patrons Party in Overland Park at 95th and Knoll, where 130 people showed up. Not all patrons, obviously some patrons brought their guests with them, but it was all a patron party and we just had a great time. Handed out KKHI t-shirts to everyone, had a fun taco bar and a really nice time despite the fact the Royals weren't particularly good. We'll get to that in just a moment. We had a couple of surprises at the event. It was really a great day. So this is a cool place we were at, and they opened the doors up. There were outdoor patios. A lot of people were sitting outside. Former Mizzou great Kim Anderson was there, obviously the head coach of national champion Central Missouri when he was the coach there, and then coach at Mizzou, and all Big 8 player, player of the year in the Big 8 from the University of Missouri showed up. I did not know he was such an avid listener. He brought in a couple of buddies with him from Sedalia. Coach, it was great having you there. You were wonderful taking pictures with a lot of the listeners. It was really a great thing to see him again. I've always admired Kim Anderson for being one of the true gentlemen in all of sports. What a nice man he is. Another really nice man who's a fan of the podcast and listens every day is Stan Weber. And I didn't invite Stan separately. And I don't like to put pressure on people. So I don't call people individually and say, hey, you know, I need you there. Or I want you there or whatever. I just like people to show up that want to be there. And Stan's a very busy guy, and he swung by on his way home from work and on his way to church last night and stayed for about 45 minutes to an hour and took pictures with folks, and he's very popular with many of the listeners, and I can't thank them enough. It was just a wonderful event of like-minded people who were enjoying a Royals game. My mom was an incredible celebrity at this event. She sat with my sister, Connie, at the backside of a booth. She had a wonderful view of a great TV right in front of her, and everybody kept asking, where's your mom? I said, she's over there. There was kind of a seat empty next to her, and people kept filing up one by one and sitting and talking with her a couple of minutes. A couple of gentlemen were in from Waubunsee County, or were originally from Waubunsee County. We had a family come from Sabetha. We had Sedalia. We had a family come down from St. Paul or Minneapolis, St. Paul. They were visiting family this week in Kansas City. I think they were originally from here, but they've moved to Minnesota, and they decided to come by. We had people from far and wide, and my mom was a huge hit. She stayed for the entire game. If you can believe that. I can't. That was only a 2 hour and 28 minute game or something like that because the pitching was so good, but it was incredible that she stayed the whole time. She enjoyed her tacos. She likes her tacos and her lemonade. And I think she just, I don't know, man. We'll probably talk about it this weekend. I'm going to church with her on Sunday. I think maybe she'll bring it up. I don't really want to know. I think what she was enjoying was the fact that so many people were there, and she thought, wow, you know, she knows people have listened on the radio and things for years. And occasionally, I guess through the years, maybe she had swung by a remote, but if she swung by one of the remotes, I was always on the air working. So I was never like meeting people, talking to people, you know, walking around and, you know, shaking hands and getting to know folks. And so she was able to kind of experience that. And I think she just enjoyed it. I also think there's some element of the fact, she's probably listening right now, there's some element of the fact that was like 3 years ago, oh, okay, sorry for your bad luck, you're going to do a podcast. Yeah, sorry. So I went in and posted on X last night, sorry to all the haters, because I still have a lot of haters that follow on Twitter, I know, because they haven't left. I mean, they were listening when I was on radio, so like 20,000 listeners or followers on X, which is actually a very low number. It should be much more than that, but conservatives don't like social media by and large. Most of you are not on there, which is fine. I mean, I wish you were, but that's fine if you're not. I totally understand and get it that you don't want to be on there, and it can be a cesspool. But I know there's just a lot of people on there that follow me that just, you know, don't like me. They were happy that I was gone from radio, that it was all failed. And so I think there was some sort of an element to this particular event of, wow, podcasting is a thing for some folks. It works. And I think it's gaining more and more acceptance every day. And I know that it has completely gained acceptance with Jessica and I, because we've never had groups like this. I don't remember watch parties where we had 130 people show up when we did radio. I don't remember this. I mean, we had big events. We did big events, but we put events on. You know, we had the man show, we did some things like that. We had Jim Rome's tour stop or we'd have big celebrity meet and greet things. We'd have the manager of the Royals in and things. That's a totally different deal. Autograph signings, totally different than, hey, we're just going to show up and watch a game together. The only thing I could compare this to is way back in the day, we had John Renshaw one time do a public appearance in the River Market at a pizza place on a Sunday, the day after I think the Chiefs were playing that day on television. And the day before was, I think it was the first year K-State finally beat Nebraska. And he wanted to go to that game, and he came in, and we'd gone to that game on Saturday, and then people showed up in the River Market, and we had a big turnout that day. That's the closest thing I can really compare it to, and there was a real feel of patriotism, conservatism, of acceptance, belonging. It was a great, great day. It was terrific. We had some sponsors come by. Chris Myers from B-Stock was there. He's just a great guy, a terrific supporter. I sent him a text last night. Said, sorry, I didn't get to spend more time with you. He sat with my mom and Jessica at a table. And Dr. Kip Van Camp was there from Ideal Health, which was cool. Ron Buck came at the end after most people were gone. I don't think really hardly anybody got to see Ron Buck. The dude just works his butt off. That's all he does, is just work his butt off. He just truly works hard. And he had to finish his day up before he came by. Trevor Holsinger was there. Remember, he was our guest last week from Aspen Wealth Management. It was really cool to see Trevor and Tavis, his brother, who are the owners and co-founders of Aspen Wealth Management. They came by and chatted with some folks, and people got to know them a little bit, talked about their finances and, you know, what's possible. That was really cool. Brad Nicholson was there from New Car Image, thenewcarimage.com. Our car dealer friend, he's terrific. He's a big Mizzou fan, and we took a picture with Kim Anderson. I'll be doing a Patrons Post newsletter with some of the photos and things that happened at the event. It was really nice. And so the reason I bring this up here is, you know, not to say, sorry, you weren't there or whatever, just to kind of let you know what it's like. I'm going to try to plan something this summer for everybody to go to. And I asked Jessica last night, I said, if we do it the same way, and we ask people to RSVP and we're giving away a meal or, you know, doing something fun, how many people will we get? Because this was just something we told the patrons about. And I honestly don't know how many people we'd get. But I think we're going to try to put something together for June, maybe where everybody can come, where we know the weather won't be too hot, maybe someplace outdoors with some shelter. I don't know. If you have some ideas, let me know, where we could maybe accommodate 300, 400, 500 people if they showed up over a period of hours. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't be as successful as a patrons party. Maybe this was more about opening day. I don't know. Although the people, everybody was watching the game, but it wasn't like a, you know, nobody was screaming at the game or cheering at the game. It was a very social event. It was just really, really cool. So let me know what you think. I would like to put something together for all listeners to get together, because it's just such a great way to get together with other like-minded people. And I cannot thank all of you enough for listening and enjoying the podcast and the nice things that you say. There were a lot of common things that people said that were very kind. We appreciate that. There were a lot of common things people wanted to talk about, which was kind. The most unusual common theme of the entire day was the 10 or 12 of you that walked up to me and pulled out your Finch pocket knife and said, I got one. And I pulled mine out and I said, I got mine too. It was so cool. They were like, yeah, I don't go anywhere without this anymore. I just don't go anywhere without it, except the airport. I got to leave it. I got to leave behind at the airport, but I go everywhere with this in my pocket. And I've gotten to where I keep one in my pocket and one in my car now. And it was just really cool to see everybody walking up saying, yep, I got these. And then people would say, I bought 5 of them for Christmas and gave them away as gifts and did that. It resonates, because I can't thank you enough for supporting a sponsor. And Spencer and Steve out at Finch Knife Company are great guys. What it said to me is we're all kind of thinking the same thing. You know, I grew up, when I was younger, I had a little bitty, it was a little bitty pocket knife that, it was almost like a little mini butter knife that I had maybe when I was 12. You know what I'm talking about. It looked more like a fishing lure than a pocket knife. But, you know, our dads wanted to give us one and teach us how to use a knife or whatever, but I never really did. I never whittled or we didn't do a lot of, I wasn't really much of a knife guy or pocket knife guy. And so until the last few years when I met the guys out at Finch Knife Company, I never even really thought about carrying something like that. I don't think of it as, I've never thought of a pocket knife as something that you keep to be safe. I've always thought, you know, my brother-in-law carries a pocket knife everywhere. He's always the guy that, oh, this thing's jammed and he cuts it, or, hey, we got to open this package. Oh, here's Christmas. This box won't open. He pulls out his pocket knife like he's always got it on him. I've never been that guy. And I may not be proficient at the darn thing. I think I'm pretty good with my Finch knife now. I know how to open it and close it and very quickly and whatever. But I just feel good carrying it. And everybody said the same thing. They love it, and they love having it in their pocket. Everywhere they are. It was just a great day. And I can't thank folks enough. I appreciate that. The Royals, not quite as good. You know, I made the prediction of 4-2, 6 1/3 for Reagan's, 7 strikeouts, and the Royals get a save. No, I was right on Reagan's. He was very close. He got 6 innings, 9 strikeouts. The guy's a strikeout machine. He gave up a home run to start the game. The Royals got a solo home run from Mikael Garcia to start the game. It was 1-1, and we thought, okay, here we go. Settle in. It's going to be a wild one. And then it turned into a pitcher's duel, and it was 2-1 going to the 9th inning. And the Royals were going to have every chance in the bottom of the 9th inning in this game to win it. They had Bobby Witt, Vinny Pasquantino, and Salvador Perez coming up in the bottom of the 9th. And I was telling everybody, don't leave, don't leave. This is going to be a walk-off. This is going to be epic. And they bring Stratton in to pitch the 9th inning, and he can't find home plate. And he gives up 2 runs. And the Royals are down 4-1, and they're cooked at that point. But I do still believe that if Stratton hadn't given up 2 in the top of the 9th, that the Royals were at least going to tie the game in the bottom of the 9th. Bobby Witt led off the 9th inning with a walk. If it's 2-1, that's a double because he's stealing second base. And now you got Vinny and Salvi coming up and a couple of sac flies, and you've tied the game and got an extra inning. So it had a chance to be something really good, but the Royals were 0-6 with runners in scoring position. Pablo Lopez was terrific for the Twins. He ate the Royals alive last year. He went 7 innings, 4 hits, a run, 7 strikeouts. The Royals got just 5 hits in this game. And it seemed like every time they had a chance to score, there were 2 outs and couldn't get that hit. 38,775 showed up. I can't say the highlight of the day was this, but boy, it was remarkable to see. The stealth flyover occurs. Andy Reid's throwing out the first pitch. And he comes out of the dugout holding the Lombardi Trophy, walking out. And, you know, Andy doesn't really walk. He kind of saunters, and he's got that half former football player limp that we're so familiar with so many guys, especially offensive linemen. And he walks out there as an entourage out there, Slugger's out there, Casey Wolf is out there, and Chiefs owner Clark Hunt and Chiefs president Mark Donovan are out there. And all three of them are holding Lombardi trophies. They've got all three of their Super Bowl trophies together, and they're holding them. And Andy just, matter of fact, hands his trophy to Mark Donovan, grabs the baseball, tosses it to George Brett for a strike, walks back over, gets his trophy back, hugs it in his arm with Mark Donovan, and they pose for a couple of pictures. It was the most nonchalant, casual, hey, we're kind of cool, here's our 3 trophies pictures that you've ever seen. It was really cool. The only way they screwed up, and this is so typical of the Royals, this is just so Royals. There's 4 people in the picture. It's Andy Reid who threw to George Brett. It's Clark Hunt and it's Mark Donovan. There's 3 Lombardi trophies, and George Brett is in the picture not holding his 1985 World Series trophy. What were they thinking? This is the kind of stuff that drives me bat spit crazy. The Royals just aren't good at being baseball. They're just not good at what they do. Where were they on this? You got all these marketing executives. You pay them big money. They think of every little thing. They had to know the Chiefs were bringing these Lombardi trophies. If they didn't, I'll give them a pass. The second they saw him, run to the trophy case. Go get it. Go get George's trophy. Or pick something out of the Hall of Fame from him, one of his silver slugger bats, something, a gold glove. Give the man one of his trophies. This is like Mount Rushmore, folks, of Kansas City. It was disappointing. It was a great photo the way it was, but my God, they missed an opportunity. It really just kind of encapsulated for me what the Royals are and what they've been. And you can't read too much into it. And it's got nothing to do with winning and losing this year. You wouldn't think either they're baseball. I mean, there's every chance their baseball people are better than their marketing people. So the marketing people missed an opportunity, but we've watched them fumble around this vote, this April 2nd vote for the stadium ballot issue. And it's kind of a joke really to watch them fumble the thing around. Most people at our event yesterday think that the ballot measure is going to fail. More and more people believe that. I simply don't know. I think the polling's all over the place. Frank White was on Twitter yesterday, the Jackson County executive, and showed a picture of him and John Sherman last year before Frank White threw out the first pitch and said, "My, how a year makes it, you know, changes," or something like that. I reposted it on X, and Frank White put out a piece yesterday about misinformation that the Royals are putting out, and the quote, "The Royals' rapidly evolving plans," unquote, are simply not settled. And he's right. And I've said all along, the Royals don't deserve your yes vote. I believe that. I believe they have not earned your yes vote. And I think this is a Royals vote. The interesting thing about Frank White is, in his release that he put out yesterday, he is now suggesting we take a pause on the Royals until they have a firm game plan and everything is settled, and we put the Chiefs alone on the ballot in August during the primaries, and go ahead and pass it for the Chiefs, and then work more diligently on getting it right for the Royals. And I thought to myself, well, now that makes a whole lot of sense, because the Chiefs part will go through with flying colors, and the Royals really should have to earn this on their own. For the Chiefs part, here's a question I have. I'm not a deep thinker, but I'm a logical thinker. If they went to the Chiefs and said, "We're going to put 3/8 cent sales tax on the ballot for you to do your part in August," what do you think the Chiefs' response would be? It's going to be only you. It's not the Royals. What do you think the Chiefs' response would be? I would think their response would be, "We want more. If we're going it alone, we want more. We got bigger ideas. We want way more." Because the big nugget for the Chiefs in taking the 3/8 cent is the Royals leaving. That's what they're in it for. They want the entire complex. Make no mistake about this. The huge incentive for the Chiefs to be on board with the Royals is getting them the hell out of there. They want them gone. They want the whole place to themselves. And then they can figure out exactly what they're going to do over the years to develop it or do whatever. And they're not asking for money on that. But they want the Royals gonzo. And the Chiefs are, for their credit, they're not interested in being downtown. Not a particularly great idea to build. There's not a lot of places in Kansas City to build a downtown ballpark. It would have to be near downtown, somewhere on the riverfront. I wonder. I think it's a great idea Frank White has. Let's go ahead and pass the Chiefs part in August. Give them their money. And I thought, well, wait a second, the Chiefs might say no. If we're going it alone, we want to talk to Kansas too. Maybe they'd like to put something on the ballot for us. They've got a couple billion laying in reserve that they don't know what to do with right now. State of Kansas literally has money laying around that they don't know what to do with. They're lowering taxes because they're taking in more than they can spend, which is how government should work. I think the Chiefs would say, "Thanks, Frank. You can go ahead and put it on the ballot, but we're not committing to it. We're not committing to signing it if you vote it, because we might shop this around a little bit if we're going it alone." I just think that's an interesting dynamic of this whole thing. We'll see what happens on Tuesday. KKHI is brought to you by Cross Kitchens KC, Kansas City's remodeler, is online at crosskitchenskc.com. Call 816-898-7047 for your free estimate in-home with the owner of the company. Tim Cross comes right out to your house, doesn't just meet you personally, intimately learns what it is that you'd like to do in your home with your countertops, your cabinets, islands, walls, whatever you may want to do, man cave, bathrooms, the whole thing. It's a pretty cool process. They'll give you a 3D rendering and show you exactly what it looks like before you decide. They'll talk with you about cost, terms, all of those things. CrossKitchensKC.com. Advanced Medical Imaging, see what's inside. A couple folks came up to me yesterday and said they went to Advanced Medical Imaging and got the heart scan done, where you basically see every organ in your torso and can make sure that they're, you know, tumor-free or spot-free or whatever. It's a pretty cool deal. It's about $100 at Advanced Medical Imaging, but the plaque score is what you're really looking for on your heart. They'll send it to your doctor. You can use the doctors right there at Advanced Medical Imaging. They'll send them over to Dr. Suber at Advanced Medical Imaging, and she'll tell you what she sees if you'd like her to read it for you. Schedule your appointment, 785-856-0224. And if you find something, if your doctor says you need to go get an MRI or a CT scan, or maybe you just have a knee injury or a shoulder or something, don't wait 6 weeks. Inside your hospital chain, Advanced Medical Imaging will take your insurance. They'll get you in today or tomorrow. MedImageKS.com. And I mentioned Ron Buck was there. I asked him how his buck disposal business is going. He goes, you know, it's a little bit more each month. He's so patient. He's like, this is a startup. We're patient. We've got these 100 containers. We're doing disposal work for people. We're working with other companies and individuals. And he's so patient with it. Like his containers are not out on the job every day. All right. They got room for growth. They got room to help you. If you have things that need to be hauled off, disposal, give Buck Disposal a chance to earn your business. If you're a municipality, mention it to your city manager. They'll work with municipalities and provide disposals, big canisters and dumpsters to haul things off from cleanup places, tree removals, things like that. BuckDisposal.com, 913-242-7695. Okay, we had a couple of wild games in the NCAA tournament in the Sweet 16 on Thursday night. UConn was incredible. They won by 30. With a couple of minutes to go in the first half, it was a close game, but UConn is like a really good college football team. You know, you might play with them for part of a half, and then they just bomb you. UConn punches out San Diego State 82-52. I mean, this thing's a machine. They're such a big favorite in this thing now. It'll be wild to see if anybody can play with them and have a chance to knock them off. They're going to play Illinois, which it was a strange game. Illinois built like a 12 or 13 point lead over Iowa State. They were clearly, I mean, clearly all night the better team. Iowa State played 40 minutes of basketball and never led. But Iowa State played 40 minutes of basketball and was never really out of it. They closed it down to two. I'm not sure if they got it tied somewhere in the second half or not, but they got there and you thought, okay, but Illinois is such a scoring machine. Illinois scored, I didn't write the score down here. They scored in the 70s, and I think they missed 15 free throws. Like, they literally should have put 85 points on Iowa State, which is impossible to do. So we have these juggernaut offenses getting ready to play each other, Illinois and UConn. Look, UConn's better than Illinois. UConn has that puncher's chance because they've got a great player in Shannon. They can score, and they played really good defense at times last night. They move on. Clemson flat out out-schemed Arizona. They jumped to a big lead in the first half, 13 points. They led most of the game. Arizona came back and got the lead in the second half, and Clemson came back and won the game twice, which was the most impressive part of Clemson winning 77-72. They won the game twice. It was remarkable to watch, and they simply out-coached and out-schemed and out-executed Arizona. That's it. That's all you can say. North Carolina, one of the most talented teams in the tournaments, is out. They're not a well-coached team. They played sloppy ball and did dumb things. They're so darn talented and good. They just beat people all year and became a number one seed. But they never had that look of what it takes in the NCAA tournament. You have to play with a passion. You have to play with an execution. And sometimes it's just players making plays, but most times it's we really know our system, and we're imposing our system on you. And they were never able to do that with Alabama, and they gave no commitment to defense at all the entire game. While they had lots of chances, and I think at one point led double digits, and North Carolina has the more talented roster and should have won the game, they didn't. But I don't look at it as an upset. Alabama's a well-coached team. They played with more heart, more desire. They fought right to the end, and they beat North Carolina in advance. And I think that's a cool thing. So I love that about the Sweet 16 and the Final Four. We got some great games coming up on Friday night. I fear for Houston getting punched out by Duke, and I think that'll be the end of the Big 12. I'm not going to predict it because I know Houston's defense is phenomenal, and they're going to Duke plays a softer game than Houston, and you go into a rock fight with Houston, anything can happen. Like, you may not be used to that, and you find yourself scoring 58 points and not beating anybody. So that absolutely can happen, but that's how Houston's going to have to do it going forward. I don't think much has been played up about this. They lost a player in the offseason. He died. And it was heartbreak for the team. And the very beginning of the season, they lost two starters. And then they've lost another since then. Like, their roster's depleted. It is miraculous where Houston is this year. They won the Big 12. They are where they are. It's the fifth year in a row they've been in the Sweet 16, which is amazing. And I'm not going to count them out. They just don't have the look of these other teams. They just don't have the offensive firepower. You know, I've heard a lot of K-State fans use the excuse this year, well, we lost our best player. Can't make the NCAA. Really? Houston's down four players. And they're a one seed. And they're still alive. It's what college basketball has become. With the transfer portal, and I don't know why this is the case, There are just flat out more injuries now than they've ever been. It's true. Players are just getting injured more, and I don't know whether it's doctors that are cautious saying, okay, you can't play. I don't know, but there are just more teams in college basketball that deal with big injuries like season losses or six-week injuries or the KU McCullough thing, which fundamentally changed them defensively. You have to get yourself into a position where you're not a one- or two-trick team. Like, we got one or two horses that we have to have, and if one of them goes down, we're in trouble. Kansas this year had two lead dogs. When they lost McCullers, they were not the same team. Houston's lost these players. Next man up. Here we go. They've got a loaded roster. They got athletes and dudes. They can't score like they'd like to, but they can defend like they like to. And most nights they can rebound like they like to. So that's what we're seeing, and those are the teams that are advancing. They're not just teams that have a great player. They're deep. They get in foul trouble. Houston was in massive foul trouble Sunday night and found a way to win. They had guys all over the bench. They had guys playing that hadn't played, and they won a tournament game. I love that about this. You got to be a team, man. You got to be a team at this point in the season, and I do love that about the NCAA tournament. Golf note, the Houston Open is this week. It's a tune-up for the Masters, which is coming April 10th, I think is the first day of the Masters. Scottie Scheffler, who's the best golfer in the world right now, broke par yesterday at the Houston Open, which is no big deal because he's done that 28 rounds in a row now on the PGA Tour. I want to repeat that. Scottie Scheffler has 28 rounds in a row under par on the PGA Tour. That is a record. Tiger Woods never did that. Jack Nicklaus never did that. That's hard to believe. It has nothing to do with who he's playing against. We know a lot of players have left the tour and gone to another tour. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do. And we're talking about the Players' Championship was one of them, a near major. So it has nothing to do with who he's playing against. He's playing against the golf course every day. That's 28 in a row under par. I don't know how far he can keep this thing going, but am I going to live long enough to see it beat? I don't know. Scottie Scheffler's amazing. I mean, his footwork's terrible. He's Patrick Mahomes. He's Patrick Mahomes, but he looks like dad bod neighbor next door. Like, Scottie Scheffler's like the least impressive athlete you've ever seen. And his footwork's terrible. When he swings, he comes out of his shoes and they twist around and it's just bizarre. But he hits every fairway and every green and he's putting better this year, which is remarkable. And it's turned everything around for him. So we're big fans of Scottie Scheffler. And, I wish he was my neighbor. Boy, that'd be a great neighbor to have. He's like a great guy and very nice man and the world's greatest golfer right now. Our news today is brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, GMC, and Excelsior Springs, home of the lifetime warranty. They've got $100 rebates right now on a set of four tires. I'm getting the rebate right now on my tires. We're going with the Michelins. They've recommended the Michelins. So I'm going with the Michelin replacements. I'll be up there a week from today. It's a week from today, next Friday. I'll be up at Roberts Robinson. And, of course, I'm going to kick some tires on some new cars. I like that. Man, I like the GMC Canyon Denali. I want to get one of those. I think I need to drive my Blazer another year. Yeah, it's like everything else. You can't just see it and say, okay, let's do this. Maybe I'm a year away. I like that. The big midsize truck. That's the way I describe the Canyon in the Colorado. They're big midsize trucks. Jessica's like, I don't want some mid-sized little truck. I'm like, we went up there last time we were up there a couple months ago, just before Christmas, and visited Tim and some of the guys and went to lunch with them. And they had one. They had a Canyon Denali right there. And we took it for a little test drive. I said, how do you like this little truck? She had to climb up in it. I'm like, the mid-sized trucks are pretty good. Mid-sized trucks now are what full-sized trucks used to be. Plenty big for a guy like me. Trust me. So anyway, they've sold, last week, a guy from Topeka got a new car, Roberts Robinson. He just called him up, said, can you find me this? They said, yes. When you do that and you say, I'm not shopping around, I listen to the podcast, they still get you the lowest price. They had another lady, he told me in December, he had a lady from Topeka was looking for a car and said they wanted this much for it or something at a dealership in Springfield. I'll pay you that. And he goes, ma'am, we'll sell it to you for $4,000 less than that. It was pretty cool. Like, they treat our listeners amazingly. You don't have to shop around. They're going to give you the lowest price and every possible rebate at Roberts Robinson online at robertsrobinson.com there in Excelsior Springs. Same thing with Window World, simply the best for less. Official windows of the Chiefs. Lifetime warranty, 0% financing. J.D. Power and Associates Awards, windowskansascity.com is the website. And our friends over at Back 9 Development, you heard them at the top of the podcast today, T.J. Vilkansas. I had a couple people ask me if T.J. was there. T.J., we missed you yesterday. He does a lot of work in Manhattan and Topeka and places like that, so he's a busy guy and couldn't make it. Had a couple people asking about you, and I said, call the man. You got a piece of land? You want to talk to him? Just call him, will you? Don't ask me about T.J. Here's his number. 785-236-0161 or log on to back9development.com. The phone number's there as well. And if you don't remember that, go to the kklist.com. All the sponsors are right there. Call TJ. He'd love to hear from you. Excuse me. Oh, I like this story out of Kansas. Attorney General Chris Kobach is suing Joe Biden over the student loan bailout program that he's implementing. Remember, he put a big student loan program in, Biden did, and the Supreme Court struck it down, said it's unconstitutional. So Biden did the workaround, like the Democrats do, trying to buy votes for November. That's all this is. The student loan back payback is find the young people, give them money, and hope they go vote for you. That's all the Democrats do is buy votes. The whole thing should be against the law. But it is not. So Biden's done some workarounds with other programs, and included in these other programs is going to be some student loan payoffs. And so Chris Kobach has filed a lawsuit with 10 other attorney generals. We expect Missouri to join this as well. It's going to wind up being a lot of them. Kobach had a great line about the new student loan bailout plan by Joe Biden. He says, quote, it's slightly smaller, but just as illegal. I love that. I like Chris Kobach. I like him a lot. To this point, he's not been on the podcast. I'm not sure why. I haven't tried that hard. I haven't. He's a hated man, which means I love him. I just do. I love these conservatives that the people on the left really, really deeply despise. Those are my people. Those are the ones that I gravitate toward. Chris Kobach is that guy. He is absolutely that guy. And I love the fact that he has filed this lawsuit. We'll see where it goes. I'll say this. Just the notion of paying off student loans is every bit as much a joke and as stupid as an open border for a free and sovereign country. The things that they think of and do are insane. These people have loose wires. They need lobotomies. They're crazy. What kind of an idea is somebody borrowed money from you? They signed it. They got a $454 million fine against Trump because he paid off his loan. And they're wanting to give money back to their voters to not pay off their loan. I mean, what was it a gentleman said to me yesterday? He says, when you say unbelievable, apparently I say unbelievable a lot. He said, when you say unbelievable, their response, they look at each other and go, actually, normal. What? No, that isn't the word. What was the word? Oh, no, I've blown it. I don't remember the word they told me. When I say unbelievable, they say, nope, that's just normal, which clearly is not normal, but that isn't the right word. They have a better word than that. I've blown it. They'll send me an email, I feel sure. Go Chris Kobach. How about this? From the University of Wisconsin-Madison, the U.S. Department of Education has an Office of Civil Rights. Who knew? But why wouldn't we? Deep inside the Department of Education in Washington, D.C. is the Office of Civil Rights. Somebody at Wisconsin got really, really, really mad that there's something called BIPOC Fellows, B-I-P-O-C. B-I-P-O-C stands for Black Indigenous People of Color. And they have fellowships, which is free money for Black, Indigenous, and people of color, BIPOC fellowships. And some white people got really upset that they weren't getting the same opportunities to go to college at Wisconsin-Madison as BIPOC fellows. And they have filed a legal complaint to the United States Department of Education, and the Office of Civil Rights is on it, and they're investigating. Then they have to investigate this now, and there will be watchdog groups watching what they do. And what do you think they're going to find? they're going to find that the university was diverting public funds, because there's going to be some public funding somehow in this fellowship. You watch. This won't just be donors. There's going to be public funds that have been diverted in this to discriminate against white people. And when that happens, we need this to go all the way to the Supreme Court. We need to end this once and for all. That will be the end of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. It is written into the Civil Rights Act from the 60s that everyone is treated equally. Everybody gets equal opportunity. Gender, race, religion are not concerns. Even Stephen A. Smith said this week on his podcast, "I'm sick of hearing all this stuff. The only thing we need in this country is equal opportunity. That's it. We don't need equal rights for these people, which is unequal rights. We don't need this for skin color. We don't need this for gender. We don't need this for trans. We don't need this for sexual preference. All we need in this country is equal opportunity." That's exactly right. Stephen A. Smith is on to something. They were on to this in the 60s. It's been 55 years ago, folks. For crying out loud, we've been doing this for 55 years. It's the people on the left and the media that distort what's actually happening in America. We don't need BIPOC fellows. We need the scholarships, the fellowships. We need those. And those need to go to the most worthy applicants. That's how it works in America. I never complained that they didn't let me in Harvard. It wasn't a place for me. I wasn't smart enough. Good enough. I get it. I took all the tests. They didn't call me. I took the ACT and the SAT. They didn't call me and say, "Oh, we got to get Kevin into Harvard." Did I complain that I didn't get to go to Harvard? It's not my right to go to Harvard. I went to a state school. It's where I belonged. That's it. I got an equal opportunity. The unequal thing in life is how you're born. You may be born into $1 billion. You may be born into despair somewhere in Africa where there's no food. That's the only unequal thing in life, honestly, or in the United States, that's the only unequal thing is where you're born, who you're born, what family you're born to. Is your mom a crack whore and you're addicted to drugs when you're born and you're never healthy your entire life? Or are you born Elon Musk's kid? That's two very different things. But once you're out there on your own 2 feet, the opportunities need to be equal for everyone. And that's all this is. I'm going to watch this case. I'm going to root for this case. I like this one. New polling data on the word illegal behind the term alien or immigrant. This is pretty cool, folks. 74% of Hispanic Americans, these are American citizens, these are not illegals. 74% of Hispanic Americans say, yes, illegal should be in front of the word alien or immigrant, and they really don't care which. That those people shouldn't be here doing what they're doing illegal. This was in response to the killer of Lake and Riley and Joe Biden referring to that man as illegal and then apologizing, backtracking, and calling him undocumented. 74% of Hispanic Americans say illegal is just fine. 81% of white people say it's just fine. 74% of black people say it's just fine. 80% of Republicans say it's just fine. 79% of Democrats say it's just fine. Literally, Biden and the Democrats are so afraid of losing, they're going to kiss the Fannie Willises of the far left all the way to Election Day with stupid stuff like this. America is laughing at the dumb stuff Democrats do. Make no mistake about it. Our final is brought to you by Dr. Jeremy Fry and Fry Orthodontics, online at fryorthodontics.com, where your smile is just the start. Advantage Termite and Pest Control. Aaron Wolcott and his team would love to work with your family or business. They're doing big buildings and big businesses now. Commercial. They got a whole commercial division at Advantage. They'd love to work with your business. Or if you're in business management. Some of you are in that. I've gotten emails from people that are in that industry. If that's your industry, is managing buildings and stuff, Advantage Termite and Pest Control would love to work with you. They got you covered now. AdvantageTPC.com. 913-768-8989. And our friends at Great Life Golf, Jeff, our pro from Canyon Farms, was at the event yesterday. He's awesome. He went out and shot one under par yesterday and then came to our event and watched the Royals game. There are days that it's good to be a golf pro. Mostly it's a grind. Mostly you're just there working all the time. But he had a good day yesterday, and when we left, he was still having a good day, which is great. If you want to be a member at Canyon Farms, you can call him directly at Canyon Farms. I've been talking this spring about Falcon Ridge, where we play a lot of golf, and my man Jay Elsey over there, they've got a referral bonus going right now. I'll be your referral. I'll refer you. You call Jay Elsey at 913-393-GOLF. That's 913-393-4653. Or send an email to falconridgeinfo@greatlifegolf.com, and you'll get 1 month free. You become a member at Falcon Ridge, we'll play this summer, and you'll get 1 month free. So if there's a referral going on right now, and then if you join and refer a member, you get another month free. It's pretty cool. It's all at greatlifegolf.com, or call the individual club you'd like to join and tell them you heard about it right here on KKHI. Our final is back to the NFL. The NFL, it was reported yesterday, they didn't release this. They're auctioning off their Christmas Day games. This is really unbelievable. They're going to have two Christmas Day games this year. They're going to auction them. They're starting at $50 million. You may remember that Amazon bought a playoff game last year, and people were in an uproar that the games on Amazon. Was that the Chiefs game? That the Chiefs-Dolphins? Amazon bought the playoff game. And people were in a complete and total uproar over it because they're like, oh, no, it's only streaming, and how are we going to see this or whatever. Oh, Peacock did that. It was Peacock, not Amazon. Amazon bought Thursday night. Peacock bought the game. Well, the NFL was so successful, they've just left their Christmas Day games out. Christmas is on a Wednesday, so this is going to be a freak show. But the games last year, the Chiefs-Raiders on Christmas Day got 31 million viewers compared to 2.8 million watching the NBA. So these games, people are watching them. Now, that was on regular network TV, as I recall. They're going to auction these games off starting at $50 million, but it's expected they will land for between $75 and $100 million. And there's two of them. So the NFL could literally make $200 million on Christmas Day. Now, that's Santa's stuff in the stocking right there. That's what that is. $200 million divided by 32 teams. You do the math. That's what, about not quite $7 million each, $6 million a team. Little over $6 million per club. Just drop it in the coffers because we're going to bid these games out for Christmas Day. Any partner apparently can bid, so these games could wind up being streamed. Woo! That's going to tick some people off on Christmas Day because most Americans love football and most Americans are available to watch football on Christmas Day. Have a great weekend, folks. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I can't thank you enough. If you're considering any of our sponsors, you can find them all at thekklist.com. And thank you so much for hitting that like, follow, or subscribe button. That is absolutely free, and it's just an honor that you've done that and that you listen to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.